pretty good against them.
Okay, you're on.
Call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order at 8:46 on the clock. For Wednesday, November 17th, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Doctor's coming.
Sorry to break up the conversing. It's nice to do that, though, instead of people fighting, I guess.
You know they weren't.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held November 3rd, 2021. Approve all claims through November 17th, 2021 in the amount of $457,617.13. Accept claim number 211-10105 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $345 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1225 to Windstream of Nebraska, LLC. They'll be adding new service to 4620 East Apple Road. Windstream will start at pedestal 365EA in the south grader ditch, bore a 2-inch diameter by 5-foot deep line under Apple Road to the north grader ditch, and then start to plow a 3-inch trench by 48-inch deep line in the north grader ditch to the residence. Once on the residence property, a new pedestal will be placed and all work will continue on private property. Located on the south side of Section 5 and north side of Section 8, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Approve utility permit number 1226 to Windstream of Nebraska, LLC. They'll be adding new pedestal and transformer for future fiber service. Windstream will be terminating existing pedestal 3012-S4420C, or OC, and placing existing cable into new pedestal and running electrical conduit to pedestal. All work will be done in the east grader ditch along 96th Road, north of Spring Lake. North of Spring Lake Lane, located southwest quarter of Section 12, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Approve utility permit number 1227 to Windstream of Nebraska, LLC. They'll be replacing a service line to residence 41928 South 176th Road, Liberty. Windstream will start at pedestal 2000/580NA. In the east grader ditch, bore a 2-inch diameter by 5-foot deep line north to the north side of residence. Turn and go east to the residence with bore. Once passed right away, all work will continue on private property. Located southwest in the southwest quarter of Section 25, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove Township. Approve utility permit number 1228 to Olson Engineering. They'll be boring an 8 to 10 inch diameter by 12 to 16 foot deep line for a minimum of 40 feet under Southwest 100th Road for new sanitary sewer project. All their work will continue outside of the right-of-way located in the northwest quarter of Section 27 and northeast quarter of Section 28, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, Claytonia Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Would appear our new highway superintendent still thinks he gets paid by the permit. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 211-10105 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $345. This will bring the total amount of claims approved through November 17, 2021 to $457,962.13. This is a company I own.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
Good morning.
Good morning. Will you please give your name and address for the record?
Larry Alder, 2498 West Dash Road, Cortland.
Morning, Larry.
Good morning.
At the last Board of Supervisors meetings on November 3rd, the member of this board agreed that today the board was going to vote on the proposed changes to the Gage County wind regulations, bringing this process to a close. No matter which way the vote goes today, we, the Prairie Wind Watchers, want to make sure that you, the Board of Supervisors, the Planning Commission members, and everybody else that has been involved in this process are invited to have pizza at the Stone Hollow Brewery in appreciation for all the hard work that's gone into reviewing and revising the Gage County wind regulations. This has been a very long and important process, and I want to thank you all for all your hard work. And one note, that's at 5 o'clock today.
Thank you, Larry. Anyone else for public comment? Morning, Ashley. Would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Ashley Mason, 1300 Lincoln Street. This past Sunday night at the annual fundraiser for the local nonprofit organization, the Willow Center, I noticed that none of you had been invited to come and learn about this amazing resource here in Beatrice that serves all of Gage County. So today I've come to provide you with information about this Crisis Pregnancy Resource Center, and I hope to see all of you at next year's fundraiser.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ashley.
Where's the Willow Center? Thank you.
205 North 6th.
Oh, I guess I should have read before I asked you.
Eric, I know we can't have a conversation, but do you want to say anything more than that?
Do you want to say anything more about the Willow Center?
I don't actually represent the Willow Center in any capacity.
Thank you.
Because I contribute to them. And when I asked afterwards why none of our elected officials from any department in Gage County, not just you guys, hadn't been invited, it occurred to them that they never could invite you. And I said, well, I'll fix that. I'll go and invite them. So the information there has all of it for you guys.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Willow Center does a fantastic job. They're really great.
Anyone else for public comment for anything not on the agenda later? All right, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, window lights. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
It's one of the mornings.
Yeah. I did bring up just discussion as far as street lights. We have the street lights on the east side and south side, and we would like to see some put on the north side and a few on the west side. I did get a price of those is $2,386 each. So at this time, I'm going to just check and see how much the installation would be and present that and see if we want to move forward with that. Flags for Veterans Day went up. They all looked really good. This would be the last time for the cotton flags. They did put the memorial flag or the nylon flags at the Veterans Memorial Park, and they all looked really nice down there. So the cotton flags are being retired at this time. I talked to Sean Van Lanningham while he was working on the holiday lights this year, and he agreed to work. We have this north lean-to shed, and I would like to see that get closed up first this winter, and would leave the lean-to on at this time, and then when weather permitting, and then we would have the limestone installed on the outside. And last thing would be holiday lights are this Sunday. This is the 34th year for the holiday lights. It starts at 5:30 with the Homestead Harmonizer singing Christmas carols. And we received a telegram from the North Pole that Santa Claus will be here at 6 o'clock sharp. And Christ Episcopal Church will have their annual soup supper, and it will be a drive-through this year. So, and it looks like weather's going to be kind of chilly, but very nice. So,
I already fell down, so I won't fall going back
yes,
to the line.
You got okay. Your fall in done already. So.
That's when I usually fall down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance. I'm going to take a second first to welcome and thank Senator Dorn for coming down. It's always a pleasure. Our former chair and finance chair here. So thank you for stopping in, not only representing us, but coming to our meeting to see us as well.
Thank you.
Bet. Mr. Jurgens.
Large ticket items. Washington County Sheriff, boarding of inmates, $10,045. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel. Rock and Gravel, $28,615.63. Metal Culverts Incorporated, County Culverts and Township, $19,259.26. That's it.
Ms. Haxby, myself, and Mr. Dorn met with PSC representative and a couple others on fiber. Do you want to give a update on our conversation yesterday?
Yeah, we met with Rural Broadband Task Force, the PSC Public Service Commission, as well as a representative from SEND, just to ask them how those lines with the Public Service Commission affect what we can do with our ARPA funds, putting in broadband rurally. And then we also were discussing our opportunities with the state legislature's bridge match program. It's not the bridge match, Nebraska Broad. Help me out here.
There's another name for it. We always call it bridge match here in the county.
Okay.
It was developed over 10 years ago, and it's, the time's run out on that. So that's part of the discussion going forward up there.
But how we can use for the broadband up there, there's matching funds for the state, and that application period is going to be starting next year again. So we're hoping to utilize data from speedtestany.org. It's where people from the county are able to go online and plot what they're experiencing in internet speeds, and it'll help us create a map where the need is for fiber in our rural areas. And that's something that we can utilize our ARPA funds for. So I got a lot of good links and good contacts. It sounds like Diode, Windstream, and Nextlink are kind of our available providers in our area. And I will be, as soon as I can compile everything, I will forward all the info I got yesterday to everyone else. Have any other questions?
We'll keep moving forward with that. One of the major concerns we had, like Jefferson County had their emergency manager, Mr. McKeever here also. When we talked to some of our local providers, they said as soon as they got outside of their slated territories, they weren't allowed to do different things, or it could take some months or years, and the PSC said that's not the case. For universal service funds, it may take a little longer to change things. But so they gave us some companies, and they're getting us some names, and we'll keep moving forward with how to hopefully request an ROP, and that's not right, RFP, and try to get some bids out and hopefully start moving forward on those.
I'm really excited to be able to use these dollars for broadband in rural areas because we lack so much. But I really hope that we can utilize the matching program with the state funds to get our projects to go farther.
There's some more propaganda out there too. I didn't realize the difference that could be reached in farming as far as savings and stuff through some of the high-tech ag that needs that fast wavelength or fast broadband, fuel savings, input cost savings, water savings. So this is beneficial for the ag areas as well as the villages. But we'll keep you updated on that. Human resources, employee relations. Didn't really have anything for human resources. Law enforcement, emergency management. Great. Fantastic. Still nice to see you, Sheriff. Road and Bridge, Mr. Jurgens.
Mrs. Haspi.
Oh.
You missed out.
That's right.
The dirt crew is doing the shouldering, getting the dirt from local sources, so that's really good. Our asphalt crew is working on cold patch and sealing, trying to do everything above 34 and rising. So we're trying to make sure that that's doing the work it needs to. The sheriff turned in some tree removal lists, which we're in the process of handling. It'll be a phone call to the landowner and get their time frame for removal. Then if it's not taken care of, a letter will be stating that they have 10 days to mitigate. The third step will be, if not taken care of, a certified letter will be sent. And then if it is not taken care of, the county will have the trees removed, and the bill will be sent to the landowner and sent to the county attorney. Mark met with Phil Snyder at RDO, went over specs for new trucks, trying to get some in the third or fourth quarter. Also with Cornhusker Trailer on specs for a new pup trailer. They're booked until late next year and possibly the first of 2023. So like everything else, it's held up. We've got traffic counters out. Manili Wagner showed us potential bridge match programs. The ones that we have submitted and the potential to be submitted yet. And we're looking at making the part-time flagger full-time to help where needed.
Thank you. Anything else for Road and Bridge?
I went down and looked at that on the Kansas border yesterday. And the gate across there, as far as I'm concerned, we wash our hands with it because it's not a public access road.
And it technically is in the jurisdiction of Marshall County, Kansas, and either Oto or Okito Township. We aren't exactly sure which township, but that was kind of the recommendation of Mark also.
That's a pretty heavy gate down there. Pretty big padlock, too.
Well, why isn't a public access road?
It is a public road, but they were allowed to put a gate across it.
But didn't you just say it wasn't?
Well, if it's gated across there, it's not a public access road.
Well, it's not supposed to be gated.
It's gated.
Is it one of those gray panels or one of the heavy-duty panels?
So that should be. It's a township road.
That section of road's the...
It's because the gate... Excuse me, Eric. I'm sorry. It's because the gate's up. And somebody, a private person, put up a gate doesn't mean the road is closed.
Mark checked into this. They went, that section of the road is governed by Marshall County, Kansas. They went through the proper channels in Kansas, and they allowed them to put the gate up the same as if they went through the channels with us. If we would allow, we have a process where we have to go through a bunch of hoops, I guess. The township residents have to put in a petition to the township. Township has to request for closure or vacation. And we went through that with Teepee Road up there in Midland Township, and it's a long process. Evidently in Kansas, it's a lot shorter process. And I guess I would ask council if another landowner along that road or someone down there would have issue with that, do they go to the Marshall County attorney then, or do they talk to the township down there?
You want me to get free legal advice to some client I don't know? I'm just asking.
I just don't know what the recommendation, I don't even know what to tell somebody.
Well, and again, I think what Mr. Dorn's talking about, we got an agreement down there along the Kansas-Nebraska as far as who takes care of what mile. And I'm not even sure. I've looked at it. I'm not sure how long it's been in place, but it has been. And it's been adhered to by both Kansas and Nebraska. And once in a while, we get in a little bit of a where's our mile start and where's theirs end type deal. But I think we've ironed that out. And, again, as far as somebody putting a barricade or a gate or some way to stop the public from getting access. And again, Mr. Tiemann talked about that TP road. We had that several years ago just because we were concerned about juveniles and other people going down there and doing things they ought not to be doing, and obviously trespassing on other people's property, causing problems for the sheriff's office, et cetera. So we took steps to make sure we could barricade that and at least limit access. This one, if somebody needed to use that road, again, that's a private matter, and they could come. I'm sure they'll talk to Mark first, and you can give them a copy of the agreement that basically we've done everything we can. That gets into a lot of legal snafus, whether or not the public is bound by an agreement between two states.
Did you find the interlocal agreement?
I can look for it.
Okay.
Yeah,
had somebody replace some planks on that bridge here late, not too long ago?
Not in my time that I know of.
Some of them had not, have been replaced in the last few years.
Yeah, I think there was a discussion. That's where I first became aware of this agreement. I think, Don, wasn't it some planks or something that one of the bridges wasn't in very good shape?
I think there was something like that. I might try to have to look to see.
There was a request for a new bridge to be placed on that road is when we really started talking about all this, and it was there was a presentation from Kansas for a design.
Oh, that's right.
But it wasn't a... It was a bid, actually.
It didn't comply with Nebraska rules, so we couldn't do it that way.
So then we would end up, they asked for us to split it. I think at that time it was, they were thinking around 300,000, 250, 300, but when we looked into it more, it could be closer to that half million plus to put that bridge in that basically only went back to a cabin and then stopped. It's a hairy situation. Is access provided? Yes. Is access provided for heavy-duty highway trucks? Probably not. The board talked about that, and we couldn't really justify spending that kind of money to allow concrete trucks to go back to a single-use dwelling. But I'm sure that'll get brought up again because I don't see how they can close a road like that. Kansas obviously works differently than we do.
Well, it solved the bridge problem. But if there's a landowner that needs to use that road or bridge to get back there to farm, just stay tuned.
Is there...
It'll be over.
Did you notice a low water crossing there or anything? Because I know there's an easement between the two landowners to the north, and they do have that in writing. Could you see a water crossing or anything?
I didn't see it.
We may end up finding out more about that.
There's one south in the Kansas that there's a low water crossing.
I'm sure we're going to hear more about this. We'll move on. I'm going to hand this over to Mr. Juergens. This is we're going to have a small celebration and thank you here. It's always a bittersweet, but I'll turn this to Mr. Juergens.
This will date us both, but Dwayne and I graduated from Odell High School in 1972. Dwayne started working for the county in 1990 and has been there for 31 years and has decided to call it quits. So anyway, with that being said, it's an honor for me to present Dwayne with this plaque for his service to Gage County. Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not much of a speech maker, so I'll just make it short and say thank you, everybody, and good luck here.
Dwayne, I want to let you know I was out at a NERMA conference, and I was talking to Mr. Baxter, and he grabbed me and brought me off to the side, and he said, I want you to know how lucky you guys are to have the guys you have in Gage County. He said that sign crew is incredible. We use them as an example and other in other places too, and he went on and on about you guys, and I said I'm going to get a chance to bring that up before too long. So that's having people talk about you like that. People will talk about you all the time, but when it's good, that's a real feather in your cap. I mean, you should take a lot of pride in that for the statewide organizations to be bringing you up particularly. That's really great.
I was always pretty proud of our sign program. It worked well. I toured through a lot of the other counties and stuff, and when I see some of their signs and stuff, it kind of makes me smile and laugh at the same time. So,
no, I want to tell you thank you. It was great having good news somewhere like that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your retirement.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove additional language to the letter regarding the Tri-County School being sent to the NDOT stating the board further supports the speed limit being lowered from 65 to 45 in the school zone during normal school hours. That letter had not been sent out yet that we approved to send in support of the state lowering the speed limit with that sign and offering some funding. Emily asked if we could put something else on there. After talking to Randy Schleter and Jefferson County, they thought it would be appropriate to lower the speed limit to 45 miles an hour for the school day. Since they aren't allowed to change it, it would be before it was 7:30 to 9:30,
yeah,
2:30 to 4:30, and that would be during the school year, approximate times, I think. And then if they had a late start or anything like that, and Jefferson County, I think Mr. Shainrock thought it could be 45 all the time.
Well, it was just, I asked Randy if it would help to have the additional language in there if we all agreed that we would support either the school having the ability to change it for the late starts, because on those days, you know, they're not able, that would not be, let's see, it would be 7 to 9, and if the late start is 10 o'clock, so it wouldn't be then. And every other Wednesday is a late start. So, and we also have school events as well. So I just asked if it would be beneficial if we would say we do support anything they do to help the school, but we would like to see either the school have the ability to change those times if necessary or just make it 45. Just wanted to hear everybody else's thoughts on that.
Any discussion on that?
So it would just be 45 all the time?
It would, this would say we would support that if they would do it. Mr. Schleter, when he talked to us, said that he did not think that would happen regardless, but it may help encourage them to. But there was a lot of overlap or a lot of underlap where there'd be kids coming and going that didn't fall within those two time periods. And, I mean, Gary probably has more direct experience with this, people coming and going over there in Tri-County. But I always thought it was odd. I don't like lowering speed limits. I'd rather see them go up. But, you know, right next to a school, it's always seemed odd that there's full-speed traffic right there.
You got the Homestead that we do.
45,
and it's for safety.
And that's federal highway there.
We got a joint jurisdiction there, but it's just an example that it's much easier to enforce when it's 45 mile an hour. Period. It doesn't matter if it's 6 a.m. I mean, check the right turn only down 19th and Lincoln Street. It's just, you know, if you're a minute early, you can make the right turn. If you're a minute later at 7:31, you're not supposed to. I mean, that'd just be a suggestion from law enforcement. Gus is here to see what the sheriff thinks about that, too. Because we're working with Randy and some of the other counties there as far as who actually has jurisdiction on which side of the road and all that stuff. But we'll get a memorandum once we get that ironed out.
I had just asked if it would be beneficial. I had asked Randy if it would be beneficial if both counties were able to put that in that letter, that we would like to see more if possible. And he said it would be beneficial, so I wanted to see what everybody's opinion was.
I don't think it would be a bad idea from from where they have vehicles turn into the ballpark down there to the county road or the intersection, if that was 45 through there, at least through the school year. I don't disagree a bit. It's seems odd. You see other schools that are on highways, and you see the flashing light that says 45, and it's always, you know, it's 45 during the school day. I agree. It seems odd that it hasn't been that way before now, and it should be. I mean, you know, Roger brings up the Homestead and nothing against the Homestead, but I think the traffic that's at that school, we should protect that. I mean, there's probably more need for protection there than there is at the Homestead. At the Homestead, you got the little turnoff there and whatever else. There's plenty of space and protection down there already. So,
Schuler?
Well, if I understand this correctly, what they presented at the last meeting was if it's a flashing light, the flashing light only operates during the time that the speed limit would be lowered. Is that correct?
I believe so. Couple hours in the morning, couple hours right. at the end of the
Which
school day.
Which does not include, then, sporting activities or anything that happens in the evening or during the summer, any activities there. So
correct.
I feel like it, I personally feel like it should be a flashing light 100% of the time and 45-mile-an-hour speed limit 100% of the time.
Anybody else?
That's what I wish to encourage in the letter. I just wanted to bring it to the board.
I guess I'd ask for a motion to include that language then.
I'd like to make that motion.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Dorn. Any more discussion? I would ask you to vote, please. 7 in favor, motion carries. We will redraft that and get something out then. Roger, do you want to look at that before we send anything out?
Send me a copy if you want me to look at it. I can.
Okay. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove resolution to adopt the Little Blue Natural Resource District and Lower Big Blue Natural Resource District Hazard Mitigation Plan Update 2021.
21-21.
Which would be resolution 21-21.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this is a effort that was started approximately 3 years ago, and the participation involves about 17 different entities, which are our communities and villages, and then also some of our fire districts and schools. And so the county participated in this mitigation plan in 2016, and I do believe before that also. So in order for our jurisdictions to be compliant with grant funding, they have to be a part of this hazardous mitigation plan. So they have done so, and I would highly encourage the county to go ahead and adopt it. I did print off one of the 7 books for you. It does have the projects in there. I will pass it this way. But
one of 7? One of seven.
So this project area, Emily, had 7 different counties in the Lower Big Blue and then the Little Blue project for JEO. So.
But you've been working on this through the whole process?
Yep. It was one of my first hazardous mitigation plans to participate with the NRD. So, but yeah. Again, coming off of 4420, which was our disaster of the flooding and so forth, the participation and interest was really high because of the fact of the loss, you know, to various locations. You know, Weimar's a good, for instance. They had lost some of their infrastructure, you know, on their pump house. So they're identifying their weaknesses and mitigation plans. Even though something happens, you know, in those jurisdictions, it doesn't have to be a plan that had to be submitted in there. They just have to be participating and identify some of their shortcomings.
What are some things, like, what are sure. some things in the plan?
So Beatrice is now also a part of that. They joined on this year before that they had their own, so they became a plan. So floodplain management, number one. Power lines, you know, changing some of their overhead power lines to underground is another example. Debris management, so if a storm comes in, how do you manage the debris itself, especially if it's has any kind of controlled element to it. Our sirens, you know, as we look at our sirens are becoming outdated, replacing those. So as BRIC funding comes available, if we're part of that plan, that was our long-term plan, that could be part of
we're eligible for grants then.
Yes, it's all federal related. Weather radio, safe rooms, public access, fire apparatus, fire equipment is part of some of the fire departments wrote in there. So they have it wrote into a plan. Now that can be a checklist on their grant application that they did participate in a mitigation plan. So.
And we have 7, you said 7
17
counties.
And, oh, 17. 17 different communities between all of our villages, the city of Beatrice, and then also Southeast Community College is part of that. Let's see, I have to think here. Southeast Beatrice Public Schools, Tri-County Public Schools. Also, we have 2 other fire districts that have written being a part of that. And basically, we didn't get 100% of the participation from the fire departments, but just that's not saying they aren't supported with it. It's just how their finance is supported through, if it's part of their city budget or whether they're separate. So,
but. So Lisa, the ones that participated in 16 but didn't participate today, are they still covered by the...
Yes, technically they're still covered, but all of them did participate and come back and participate.
Oh, they did end
yep,
up? Even though it says they didn't?
Where does it say? Which
it says
ones?
Communities of Roseland, Harvard, Steel City.
So I'm just covering Gage County.
Yeah.
So only Gage County, because out of the group of the seven counties, as I said, there's seven books. I only downloaded Gage County, mm-hmm. so you could review that. I didn't review... any other county. I just reviewed each county.
But if a community or a school district or whatever participated in 16 and didn't
yes.
participate now, they're still...
They still are, you know, compliant with that. Some budgetary things might have changed.
Mr. Juergens.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Doran. Short on the discussion today.
You read that fast.
Yeah. Any other discussion on the hazard mitigation plan for 21?
Is this something that's been something we've had before, or is it new?
Lisa, do you want to go over that a little bit? This will be basically an update of existing boundaries and put new layers in place just with corrections.
Yes, because we've received as a county federal funding for bridges and roads and so forth. In order for us to get that funding, in order for any entity to get that funding,
we've
they had to be
a part of
that
already.
Mitigation plan.
So was there changes between the one that we've been in and this one, other than like...
So a lot of it, I know on the county roads area, you know, it was updating the 1 and 6 year plan, you know, as far as your road plan, what you, when Galen was still here, identifying what's completed and then updating the new side of things. So updates have been done, but then also understanding what other vulnerable areas that need to be improved on.
Were the new floodplains or the floodplain boundaries added into
this? It will
be,
yes. Yep, they will be.
On another note on those, are those being added into the GIS system for the...
Soon.
They will be, though.
But they will be, yeah. It should be an ARC map that will be added.
Any large changes on this or anything that...
I think the important part is it gives every village and jurisdiction an opportunity to look at their plans and policies and update them. You know, it really forces you to say, "Oops, you know, we better cover that." So,
if I remember right, Mark Mainz and mm-hmm. and Galen and them put together the first one 12 years ago, maybe. It was about the time that we were coming on, maybe before that even, but it's kind of a live document that's always, as something changes in a community, it needs to be changed in there, and it's every 4 years.
Every 4 years, yeah. Actually 5 years. We'll be actually starting again in 2 years if you figure 3 years.
Yeah, as soon as you get it done, you're starting right back
up. But I want to just acknowledge, though, the Lower Big Blue NRD is the partner that helps drive this and receives the funding for that. So in order to do that study, you know, you're talking about with JEO probably about $150,000 to $300,000 project for the mitigation plan, maybe even more by the time they're done their mapping. So,
second chance.
Thank you, Lisa.
Put it under here with the rocks.
Yeah, it's probably a good place. All right, we have a motion by Juergens, second by Doran, to approve resolution 21-21 and adopt the Little Blue Natural Resource District and Lower Big Blue Natural Resource District Hazard Mitigation Plan updates for 2021. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discussion on options on the opioid litigation settlements that have been ongoing. I don't know if you want to touch on this, Roger, or we have the ongoing opioid litigation between private attorneys and the state attorney general. They have been going back and forth with the producers of opioids.
Basically, it's just to make a, as Mr. Jurgens would say, let's shorten this thing up a little bit. The attorney general for the state of Nebraska has been leading the charge as far as representing Nebraska in this opioid settlement discussions. It'd be my recommendation that you continue to allow Mr. Peterson to do what he's doing in his office. Your other option is you can hire an attorney and go on your own.
In the and what we need to do by December 31st of this year is tell them one of three options. From NACO has presented this to us. John Cannon sent this out. And one option is elect not to sign on a settlement agreement and you're just out as a county. One option is to sign on the settlement agreement and contribute your county's direct share of this fund to your behavioral health region. Or the other option is sign on the settlement agreement, which the attorney general helped negotiate, and become eligible for a direct share of the settlement proceeds. So just roughly from what NACO sent out, the state and political subdivisions are each eligible for 15% of this fund, and then the remaining 70% goes to fighting opioid addiction. And this is, like Mr. Harris said, the settlements, we don't know the dollar amounts yet, that have been negotiated out by the attorney general and private counsel. I don't know if you guys want to vote on an option, if you want to review it and bring it back in a couple weeks, but we just need to exercise that right and tell them, hey, we're going to go with this route by the 31st of December so that we're eligible. I mean, I would...
What do you think we should do, Roger?
I like number three because it gives you some direct, or it gives you, allows you direction as opposed to just the behavioral issue, and I'm not appreciating that. That's certainly a critical factor that we look at. I'm just saying there's other areas you may want to consider for helping to fund with these monies that we will eventually get through the Attorney General's settlement.
I would say also
stay with the Attorney General. And basically, when this thing first started, I think you'll find we jumped on board that rather than pursuing our own litigation, number one. For even a county like Douglas, that's extremely expensive. For somebody like Gage or the smaller counties, there's no way we can do litigation on the federal level like that. So, again, I think you're getting a tremendous bang for the buck, if you will, through the Attorney General's assistance on this. But I think number three would be the way to go. That'd be my recommendation.
Since it's on for discussion, we'll put that on for the next agenda to vote on it. Is there other discussion on the options? Does that option sound favorable to everyone? I mean, it does leave us open, the most open, I guess. We're the least constricted on that option.
I'd just like to, if I could read it sometime to understand a little bit more.
And NACO, did they send that out to all of us?
It looks like just to you, maybe. This is the letter that went to.
This is from John Cannon, if you want to look at that, too. That one's not John Cannon.
I don't completely understand it, and I believe you. I just want to read a little
more. No, that's fine.
I'd like to read it, too.
Maybe just make copies.
We won't be voting on it today. It'll be on in a couple weeks. That'll give time to review it.
Okay.
So we didn't all receive this, did we?
I believe he just sent that out to me and Don.
I never see who it goes to because everything is blind CC'ing or with all the hacking, so I don't know who got it and who didn't. But that letter is to Eric.
Yeah. But can you email us a copy now then?
Yeah, I can send you out a copy.
If you send an email copy, that's fine.
That'd be great. We'll send one out to everyone to review it. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove wind regulations.
Can I have a recess before that?
We can. It's 9:30 on the clock. We will recess for approximately 5 minutes at 9:30, reconvening at approximately 9:36.
Thank you.
Are we really? Cool. Okay.
We will reconvene at 9:36 on the clock.
No, I make a motion?
The thing is, and that's why I put this in red.
We have to make one change just because the we had an or in there between a bond and an escrow.
I would just give it the same because, again, I'm deferring.
We probably should have one or the other.
Okay.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove wind regulations. We have an ongoing motion on that. We had the initial presentation by the P&Z. We've gone through some potential changes. We've voted to amend those regs. Some we voted against making those changes. We were going to vote a couple weeks ago, but it really came down to we had an or in there, and it was a big or. It was a difference between a bond and an escrow account at the end of that. Is that not correct?
The or was between on letter S. It's between two different ways to read it.
I thought we had a bond and an escrow account.
Those were wrote together.
Okay.
The letter on his number 5 here, he said to recommend that first paragraph, but S, the alternative, was more detailed and redundant. So which you would prefer, the short one?
Always. I like short people.
Yeah.
I think it accomplishes, and I'll be quite frank on some of this stuff. I deferred a lot to the planning and zoning recommendations to this board because, number one, the time they spent on this, and in my view, they were doing a balancing act on land use when it deals with wind turbines. Some of the other stuff, and I'm not being critical, I'm just saying we're going to the overkill thing to make sure we never have wind turbines. And that's one of the things I look at, in deferring to the planning and zoning folks' recommendation. So that was one of them. And again, I understand. And just like I was talking to Don a little earlier, sometimes when lawyers are asked to get involved, two-page documents turn into 200 pages because we want to cover every detail, just in case. And I think that's somewhat of what we've gotten to in this thing. And again, everybody's been acting in good faith. I'm not saying that, but that's just my general thing. And that's why on that one, like you said, on number 5, and what you passed out here today is basically just when reviewing it, I cleaned up some language. Lisa, we went over it with Lisa and the council that was working out of my office with it and tried to fine-tune it. Other than that, I left them alone.
You pointed in this comment in here, the reason that I had that or offered that or was that there was no limits for, and then the number of complaints. So that's why I tried to replicate the previous one.
And again, I think a lot of it, and we've only got one example in Gage County with Steel Flat, but I think it, to the credit of working with Galen on like the roads and stuff, we were able to hammer out an agreement. We had no problems that I'm aware of. If something came up, it got taken care of very quickly. I'm trying to think of some other examples. I encourage the parties that are directly involved in these matters to negotiate. You know, and that's particularly with the folks that are looking at putting wind turbines on their land. They're going to have somebody that's going to negotiate those things and make sure they're covered. And I think I want to encourage that. When you start to cover everything, that's when I think you end up with, it just keeps growing and growing. And we've gone from, we're almost 2 years now. And again, people have done a great job on that as far as being thorough. So okay. That's my two bits now.
My only other question, I'm good with these. These are great suggestions, and I like how you compiled some of these. I had no idea how to do it, and you got it done, so that's awesome.
I'm not saying it's right.
Looks good to me.
All right.
And I apologize for getting it to you. I think I got it yesterday. I did look into the bonds and escrows that were discussed. I contacted Security First, who talked to their bond writers, and then I also talked to Nebraska Title Company that handles escrows, just because I don't know how they work or if we're able to do that length of term for these kind of things. I did find out that bonds aren't applicable because you can't go for that time frame. You can't consider your increase over time and cost. Escrows can, but the one thing that I didn't realize that there was is there's a setup holding fee. And so I specified who would pay that, so the county wouldn't end up paying that. I did come up with this one, and I did send it to the tile company to make sure that the language would work. And they said it was pretty straightforward. So I'll let you guys read over that and see what you think, if that's okay.
Does anyone have anything specifically they'd like to bring up in the proposed and amended regs that we have in front of us? These are the ones that we've gone through. We kind of hashed things out. We went through item by item. Like I say, we made some changes. We left some things the same. And then we rechanged some things. You know, there may be changes again in the future as situations change. But
and then with this section with decommissioning and discontinuing, I thought that chronologically the order of it, the cash escrow comes first because that comes pre-permit, and then the rest of the things are kind of after permit. I didn't know if we could just rearrange those orders so that this D replacement would be actually A, and then it would move down.
I
just a chronological order, or it doesn't matter.
What page and what number are you on?
What are you looking at, Emily?
Page. Starts page 16, but it's 17. So letter D is, it had offered bonds and escrows, and then that's why I had talked to those different companies and came up with this option for D. So when I was looking at it, you know, D is required before permit, and then if you look at A, it's talking about after 1 year without energy production. And then B is talking about the restoration plan. And then D is talking about when the restoration needs to be complete. And so I didn't know if that would to order that basically D, A, B, C. Or if it matters. Does it matter? If it's not in order for chronologically.
Probably does. It just flows a little easier sometimes.
Yeah. That was the only thing. And I'm sorry I got that to you just yesterday, but I had to get back and forth between people to get that answer. God.
Roger, how would that work to swap out special use permits between companies? I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about the escrow account. Yeah, it's escrow account.
When that switches, does that switch with?
It should.
Yeah. And again, every case might be a little different. We don't have I worked with surety companies all the time whenever we did construction. And that's a simple situation as far as assigning, it becomes part of the agreement. That didn't happen very often. It can be done. The whole idea is to have a reserve, if you will, and that's what that's one of the things. And Mr. Hill was this was high on his list when this thing first started, and justifiably so, because California was having a horrible time with decommissioning some of their units that have been up there for 25, 30 years and not revamping them and reusing them, so they're just sitting there. So, again, I would suspect, and this we're probably going to get some direction either from the state. It would make sense because, again, then you can pool all those resources as well as working with your banking institutions or your insurance sureties to make sure that they do it. I think that, are we going to see some changes? Absolutely. Now, hopefully not for a couple 18 months, or about 18 months, so that we give P&Z a rest. But that would be my recommendation. I think I don't have any problem with what you got in there.
Okay.
Does anyone have an issue with just reordering these on page 17, placing paragraph D first? So as lettered now, it would be D, A, B, C. Obviously, we will not make D first.
And then
but just change that paragraph ordering. If not, we'll go ahead and just do that clerically.
Do you need a motion to replace with the escrow language instead?
This one, okay, so
this is what
this would replace.
What came up from doing the research between the companies. It's because bonds were not applicable in that length of time, and it wouldn't account for cost of living increase or if it would change to take how much it would take down.
I would say we probably should, just because that's how we've gone through each of the other items, if we've made any changes.
I'd like to make a motion to replace the letter D, which will become letter A, with this language.
You're replacing everything.
No.
Right? Not chopping up part of D.
Replacing everything. Yeah. It says this. It just is talking about escrows.
Okay.
Yes.
Second.
Motion by Haxby, second by Juergens, to replace paragraph D, page 17, with the handout paragraph that we have, which basically changes the language from bonding to escrow accounts. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Any additional changes, amendments, or discussion items through the wind regs that anyone would like to bring up? Do you want an overview of them or anything, or is everyone comfortable with what we've come up with so far, Ms. Haxby?
The only thing I do, I like all of Roger's changes, and I appreciate his time looking through all these. The only thing that we wouldn't change then would be number 9, since we just fixed that in this section.
Because that would be removed completely. Okay.
Yep.
So this one becomes null and void because this paragraph is gone. So this one we not have to make that change because with that this paragraph is inserted. I don't think so. These are all the changes. I guess we can just, do you want to roughly go through these, or is everyone comfortable with where we are? I guess I don't want to, like we said Monday, we don't want to, obviously we haven't sped through it, but we don't want to speed through at the end. If there's anything that we want to address, now is the time, the term forever hold your peace. Forever until next week.
Mr. Thiemann, I'd make a motion to approve wind regulations and changes in wind regulations to what we have as of now.
Second.
Including what Roger?
Including what Roger changed.
Regulations and amendments.
Eric, we might want to get any comments from somebody if anybody would like to make comments relative to this issue. We've had a lot of input and a lot of concern.
We have a motion by
they're wanting to approve,
motion by Juergens, second by Dorn to approve the amended wind regulations, the P&Z presented regulations with amendments. A quick question for you, Counselor. We had a motion, and we've made amendments. We had a motion to approve the P&Z regs. We've made amendments to those along the way. And now we have a motion to approve the regs as presented with changes. Can we do that?
Yep.
Okay. That was an easy answer. Thank you.
Just because it comes over and hit me if I said no.
All right. We have a motion by...
And honestly, the meeting, we went through all these point by point and examined each one of them. The items which I addressed here were the ones you asked me to address, and there was a couple things that Lisa noticed, just some inconsistencies, like there was a couple places. Like the survey map was a 2 mile with the buildings and stuff. Well, we switched it to 3. Why wouldn't you want the survey map to go to 3? So just little things like that we happen to pick up. Now, are we going to pick up something like that in 6 months when somebody else asks? Perhaps. But again, those are cleanup things, and that's basically what I see today is there were some issues you wanted addressed. We've addressed those, and Mr. Jergen's motion basically says taking those into account in the escrow matter that Ms. Haxby researched again was in anticipation the last time. So the motion is proper before the court. It's basically now take everything that you've approved as well as these recommended changes. That's going to be it. That's the motion before the board.
Ms. Haxby?
The only thing I'd like to say is I appreciate everybody's time in this. And while I would have liked to have seen a few other changes, what we have today is the consensus of the board. So
I'd like to thank everybody, too, for staying so long the other day. I know there's a few of you that weren't happy. But we kept working through it, and we got to where we're at. Mr. Schuler.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say that these zoning regulations severely restrict the rights of private property landowners. One small landowner can control activities on property at a mile from their property line in all directions. This board recently passed resolutions opposing actions designed to improve our climate, our heritage, and our local economy, based on unfounded fears that federal programs could threaten private property rights. But today, we sit here, this board posed to remove property rights. The public health, safety, or welfare don't justify these restricted regulations. We don't outlaw microwave ovens, cell phones, despite warnings of health concerns. Well-balanced zoning regulations may serve the county. However, one portion of the county should not impose its fears on everyone. It would be fairer if the county was divided when the board decides to prevent beneficial future development. That's my comment. Thank you.
Just one thing with that. You said that one person controls the activities by with the setback. But here's the deal is you're also controlling my property with a turbine next to me too, because of the ability to use spray planes, ability to build a new home.
Yes, don't forget there is two sides.
There is two sides. I'm just saying there's two sides to the argument.
And I'd ask you to kind of stick to discussion on specific regulations. I will try to get something on banning cell phones on the agenda in the future for you, Don.
You don't have to do it for me.
Any other discussion on any specific items? If not, we have a motion by Jergen, second by Dorn, to approve the wind regs as presented and amended. With that, I will ask you to vote. 6 in favor, with Schuler voting nay, motion carries.
Here, Mr. Tiemann. I just real quickly, Mr. Alder had a comment in the public session, and I just wanted. I appreciate what your proposal to have the people involved with the work on this project down for a low gathering. I just wanted you to understand, and again, I know this wasn't your intent at all, but that creates an appearance that might be a little difficult to address. So I just wanted to say something so the board didn't take a shot on the nose for maybe not showing up at that, okay?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but
if you're going to speak, come forward into the microphone.
Okay.
Identify yourself.
Larry Elder, 24. You know where I live. I understand what you're saying, but if all it took was a little pizza and beer to influence this board, we've been wasting our time for a long time on all the information. So I just want to put this, lay that
that's
out.
Why I, just
I understand
want
what
to say,
you're saying. I do understand.
I know there's no intent to do that. No. It's just
the timing was wrong, perhaps. Yes.
And I don't want to be critical, but I'm just we were going to talk with the board, and it's up to them. It's their decision. It's a personal decision. But I think just so if somebody, you know, doesn't show up, you're not.
It's just
doing
more for
it
me.
Anyway. Okay.
I won't hold anything against anybody. I just wanted to offer that up because there's been a lot of hard work gone here. And like I said, once again, if that's all it took to influence you guys, I've been wasting a lot of damn time. Thank you.
Mr. Lytle.
The one thing I'll say is that I do share a little bit of Don's concern as far as public, as far as private property rights. And I do feel like we were probably clear over on this side with the regulations that we had placed several years back. Now, I kind of feel like in some ways there's pieces of this that we've gone clear over here. I'm pretty sure this conversation isn't done. I'm pretty sure it'll be back. I'm pretty sure that this doesn't finalize it, partly because we've gone so far this way now. I think part of that's going to create a conversation in the future. Maybe not. Maybe the wing companies, people interested aren't going to even consider it anymore, and they'll just forget it. But that is my one concern with what we've done today.
There is also discussion still with split zoning. We've talked to Lisa about that. We're a diverse county. We're a large county. Comparing north and south is very similar to comparing east and west with the state itself. Our demographics are different. Our population's different. Our potential for growth is different. So I think you're probably right. This is not the end. This is another point we're at. We also, keep in mind, have a moratorium on wind permits right now. It was the intention of the board as soon as we had wind regs passed to lift that moratorium. So we'll have that on the agenda at the next meeting also. That allows for the developers to move forward if there is room to move forward.
On wind only, because we still have solar, correct?
That'll be on the agenda. I will put it up for discussion and lifting it if we decide to lift only wind. That might be something to ask the P&Z also, Lisa, when you talk to them, if they have an opinion if we should leave a moratorium on solar until regs are set up on that. It would be logical. I know we don't have any permits knocking at the door right now, but
most of our permit interest has been individualized on rooftops, you know, so no commercial at this particular time. The commission will meet next December 14th, so we can ask that question to them.
Great. Thank you all. Eric?
I'll make one final comment. To everybody's surprise, I voted for this, but because I feel the majority of people in Gage County, that's what they wanted. But I would not be against at some point looking at segregating the south from the north and changing some rules. So if there was interest in that area, that could happen.
And I had made the
big
comment.
If. Okay.
I had made the comment that won't happen at this time, and it wasn't because I don't think there's support for it. I just knew that we wanted to move these wind regs along. I knew that we wouldn't be able to incorporate a zoning change between north and south quickly enough at this time. It doesn't mean we don't keep working on it, but I think you've got a really good point there, Terry. With that, I would ask, that's the end of our regular agenda, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 10:01 on the clock. We're going to have an update from law enforcement, and no formal action will be taken after that.
Right. Once again, thank you guys for all your hard work.
I make that motion.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Byers. Going to closed session at 10:01. Please vote. Six in favor with Schuler voting no.
Okay.
No, seven in favor.
Are you...
Closed session it.
Wait.
Oh, come on, let's roll.
Second.
We have a motion by Beyer, second by Dorn, to come out of closed session at 11:17 on the clock. Please vote.
But I think
7 in favor. Motion carries. I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Better hurry, or Juergen's going to be out of the room.
There's no area.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Juergen, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor with Haxby voting nay. We are adjourned at 11:17.